Now we are coming to verse 15. We begin there with the sixth danger signal that we've had in this epistle. As I've called your attention to it, all the way through the epistle, the red light is turned on. A warning sign is given. And certain perils are mentioned. Here it's the peril of denying. And notice what he says in verse 15, looking diligently. And looking diligently has in it the thought of direction. And what is that direction? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And we are looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Now, the word here for fail is not the word for apostasy. It doesn't mean that they were in danger of apostatizing. It really means just to fall back. In other words, a believer must keep his eyes on the Lord Jesus, not on man. And if he doesn't keep his eyes, he's apt to get to the place where he doesn't avail himself of the grace of God. Now, God has a tremendous reservoir of grace. He wants to lavish it upon his children. And he's prepared to do that. And he's able to do it because Christ paid the penalty for our sins. And God is rich in mercy, rich in grace. And he wants to expend it on us. But the problem is, many of us do not avail ourselves of it. You see, we're talking, friends, about reality. Something that you can go to God and lay hold of. And that is the wonder and the glory of it all. That's been the message of this epistle. Now he says that if you don't do that, there's a danger lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. And one saint in the church, and it's generally a saint who ain't, that can stir up more trouble than can be possibly imagined. Just like one apple in a barrel of apples just ruins all of them. And that is the thing that can happen. And the thing to do is you're to ask God for grace to endure whatever it is. And don't become bitter, Christian friend, toward anyone or any circumstance. Now he goes on and says in verse 16, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. Now, I think actually fornication here is spiritual. There is a danger of turning from God to the things of the flesh, and it could be most anything of the flesh. As far as Esau was concerned, why, he sold a birthright, a spiritual birthright. That entailed so much, it meant you'd be in the line that led to the Messiah. Meant you'd be the priest of the family of Abraham. But he didn't care for it. Now, when it says here that he was a profane person, it doesn't mean that he cussed a great deal. In fact, it has no reference to that at all. The word profane actually comes from two words. Phanus means temple. Pro means either before or against. And here apparently it means against the temple. It means against God. It means that he was just a godless fellow. Esau saw no need of any recognition of God or any relationship to him or any responsibility. And so he despised his birthright and he counted it just as being something valueless. And he was even willing to trade it in for a bowl of soup. And there's many a man that has sold his soul. Well, some have sold it for a bottle of liquor. And I think that is worst of all. Some are selling it today for drugs. Some today sell their soul for sex. Some dishonesty. And that's what he's talking about here. There's a danger. Because as a child of God, you're either going to go forward or you're going to fall back, as he says. You won't stay in the same place. And now verse 17. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. And I do not know of a passage that's been so misunderstood as this passage of Scripture right here, because it gives the impression that poor Esau, he wanted to repent and God wouldn't accept his repentance. And we need to recognize that he's saying something here that's altogether different than that. Esau despised his birthright, and then he found out later that there was also an inheritance attached to it, that he would inherit twice as much as any other son of Abraham would inherit. And that's the thing that he was interested in, that which was physical. Now, his repentance is one of shedding of tears. And when it says he sought it carefully with tears, it means that he did a great deal of boo-hooing about it. And I think I can illustrate this like this. The thief was caught, and the thief began to weep and say he was sorry. Now, he wasn't sorry that he was a thief. He was sorry he'd been caught. Esau was not repenting because of the fact that he wanted to turn to God, wanted something spiritual. He repented because he had missed something, and he cried because of that. And that is the thought that you have here. He's actually against God, as you can see.